What is up, Active Church Online? So thankful you have joined us this morning. My name is Josh. I serve here at Active Church. You may not recognize me due to the beard. This is my COVID-19 look while we're sheltered in place. Listen, before we get started this morning, I want to give a huge, great big shout out to our pastor, Adam, and his awesome wife, Stacy. I am so encouraged by the leadership, by the creativity, by the guidance that they have been providing us as the church during this time. And I am so proud of the support that our church has been providing to our communities during this time. And I don't know about you, but I am so thankful and so proud to call Active Church my home. Listen, we're continuing our series. This is our second installment today of Faith Over Feelings. Faith Over Feelings. I got to tell you, if I was honest with you, over these past 6 weeks, I've kind of been all over the place. I'm typically a pretty even keel kind of guy, but man, I've been emotional, if I was going to be honest with you this morning. I'm not sure what to believe in the news. I'm not sure what's really happening in the world today. I'm not even really sure what God is trying to do. And during this time, man, my feelings are out of control. I typically don't remember my dreams. Little fun fact about myself, I never remember dreams, but the other night, there were so many thoughts in my head that I actually dreamt that I got coronavirus. And for whatever reason, I mistook coronavirus with leprosy. And I thought my fingers were falling off. Like, I jumped out of bed, ran to the bathroom to look in the mirror to see if my ears were still there. Like, I thought my body parts were falling off. Faith over feelings. This is what I do know. I do know that now more than ever before, we need to defeat the feelings that are trying to defeat us. Faith over feelings. And God, He's given us His Word. He's given us biblical disciplines and promises to help us overcome. And despite what's going on in the world, He has still called you and I to live in a place of victory. And the coronavirus has not changed any of that. All of that is still true. And today, I believe that I have a choice. I believe that you have a choice. The Bible teaches us that today, you and I, we can choose joy. We can choose joy. Joy is available to us today, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of COVID, regardless of what's going on around us, we can still experience an internal joy. It's a type of happiness that only God can bring. And it doesn't matter what your external situation is, I can have joy on the inside. But here's the catch. You have to choose it. You have to choose it. It doesn't find you. You find it. We can experience internal joy regardless of what's going on around us. We have to choose it. And today I want to spend a few minutes talking about some areas in our life that rob us of that joy. Let me just ask you a question right there in your home. What is the greatest source of stress in your life? Don't look at your husband, don't look at your wife. What is the greatest source of stress in your life? What is the thing in your life that's causing you a great, overwhelming feeling of stress? I did some research this week and came across an article by the American Psychological Association. And they did a study, and it shows that the most common source of stressors today are relationships, finances. But one of the greatest sources of stress in the lives of Americans today is work-related stress. Work-related stress. I'm not just talking about those with the 9-to-5 jobs. I'm talking about students whose job is actually going to school. I'm talking about stay-at-home moms whose job is taking care of their children. And most of you watching today, your jobs have been impacted by COVID-19. Some of you, maybe you're working remotely. Some of you, maybe you have kids. And congratulations, you have been awarded a new job that you didn't even apply for. You are all of a sudden a full-time teacher on top of everything else you were doing. And guess what? You're not getting a pay raise. And stress related to work pre-COVID was intense, according to this study. But I guarantee you that during this time of COVID, the level of stress related to work and our job and the functions that we perform on a daily basis has increased significantly. Work, job, school, all the stress of it. Studies show that it is one of the greatest robbers of our joy. And if that's you this morning, don't feel bad because you're in good company. King Solomon, he was one of the wisest men in the Bible. And look at how he felt. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He says, I hated my life. King Solomon is saying this. How I hated life. Why? Because of the work. He's like, I hate my job. It's grievous. It's meaningless. It's like I'm chasing the wind. I'm busting my tail and I'm not accomplishing anything. I'm doing the same thing day after day. He says, I can't stand my job. Can you relate? Can you relate this morning? But look at what research shows us. It says that 80% of workers feel stress on the job. 80%. 25% have felt like screaming or shouting because of job stress. 10%, they're concerned about an individual at work they fear that could become violent. 14% felt like striking a coworker in the past year. Like 14% says, like, that's me. You should be concerned about me. I want to get violent. 18% experiencing some sort of threat or verbal intimidation in the past year. There is so much going on in those statistics. And you and I, according to this study, we're feeling the pressure of it. And this week, church, I've been studying and I've really been digging into the Bible to try to bring you this morning a solution to all of it. And honestly, the solution that I found in Scripture, it's so simple, yet so hard to do. Like the solution that I want to bring you this morning, according to Scripture, is so simple, yet oftentimes it's so difficult to do. I remember growing up and my dad, he used to listen to country music because we lived in the Central Valley. That's what you did in the Central Valley. And there was an old country song that he used to sing. And it went like this, take this job and shove it. That's my country twang. If you're going to sing a country song, you have to have that twang. Take this job and shove it. Well, the title of my talk this morning is this, take this job and love it. And love it. And I want to show you how we can do that according to Scripture today. Because I believe this, that you can be in the middle of turmoil. You can be in the middle of discouragement and pressure and stress and all of that, and yet you can still experience peace on the inside. The Bible promises it. In fact, Jesus said that in this world, you will have trials and tribulations. But he says, take heart, because I have overcome the world. Never does the Bible say that he'll make it go away. See, I know what you want. You're like, Josh, show me a scripture in the Bible of how I can get rid of my boss. You're like, Josh, it's got to be in there somewhere. Show me a scripture where I can get rid of that grumpy teacher of mine. Something to show me how to get rid of Sally in the office. Like, Sally, Sally needs to get transferred, not just to a different department, but send Sally to Africa. Like, show me a scripture how to make that happen. The Bible says that he's not going to make it go away. But there's promises in the scripture, get this, if you lean in this morning, that you may experience all those external pressures, but you can experience peace in the middle of it. There's no elimination of it, but there's peace in the middle of it. In the midst of your pain, you can experience joy. So here's the solution. It's a powerful, powerful solution. It's in Colossians chapter 3. It says, since then, you've been raised with Christ. Means you're a Christian. Your sins are forgiven. Catch this. Set your hearts on things above. Set your hearts on things above. Set your hearts on the place where we will eventually go. Like if you wake up depressed, if you're waking up stressed out and worried about your day, there's a good chance that you're going to have a rough day and the level of your stress at work is going to go higher. But the scripture says if you start your day by setting your hearts on things above where Christ is, it says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Did you catch it? Because that's the solution, the thing that makes work stress go down. It's guaranteed, 100%. Test it and try it is by starting each and every day off by setting our hearts and our minds on the right place. It's critical. It's absolutely critical. And in fact, it's the solution to your stress. But get this, you have to do it daily. Like, I don't know what it is, but something happens in the middle of the night. Like, what we had set in place when we wake up, like, it ain't in place anymore. That's why the Bible says, each day, set your heart, set your mind on the right place. So what do we do daily? We have to put on a fresh attitude. Every day. That's why morning quiet time with God is so important, because we have to do this every day. We have to put on the right perspective. The only solution that I could find in Scripture to address the stress in your life is truly just this. It's your perspective. It's setting your heart and your mind on things above. Colossians 3, 12 and 14, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, says, clothe yourself with compassion. Clothe yourself with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience. Tomorrow morning, maybe even later this morning, you're going to go take a shower and you're going to get dressed physically, but get the heart of God this morning. Don't just get dressed physically. Like, do it emotionally. Get dressed spiritually. Like, in your soul, clothe yourself and put on compassion. Put on kindness. Put on patience. I hate patience. I had to have patience yesterday. I went to a drive-thru. I ordered a salad. You don't even have to cook salad. And I was in the drive-thru for 45 minutes. Patience. I did good because I knew I was preaching on patience today. And then look what the Bible says. It says, bear with each other and forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Do you see what the scripture is telling us here? It's a perspective issue. How do you live in peace and still have a boss that's unfair? How do you live in peace and have a teacher that's rude? Students, moms, you have students at home. They're not listening to you. They're tearing your house apart. How do you live in peace? Look at what the scripture says next. It says, over all these virtues, put on love. It's love that binds them all together. It's a daily decision that I choose to put on compassion and kindness and gentleness. I don't have another solution for you other than that. As a Christian, as a Christ follower, it's so critical that every day we set our heart and our minds on things above and we enter and approach our day with the right perspective. And real quick, I want to give you three simple principles that's going to help us do that. And the first is this: discover your real purpose and make sure that you and I are doing something every day that is making an eternal difference in the life of someone else. We know our core values here at Active Church. We repeat them, we go over them every week. We exist so that we can know God, so that we can find freedom and discover purpose. But all of that is in place so that you and I can make a difference. Imagine if each of us committed to making a difference in the life of someone within our circle every week. You know, the happiest people that I know, they don't have a better husband or wife than you. The happiest people that I know, they don't have a better job than you. The happiest people that I know, they don't even have better finances than you. But what they do have is something in their life that they're doing that is truly meaningful. Like the happiest people that I know in life, they have found what we like to call their calling. They found their calling. And you say, whoa, Josh, no. Calling, that's for preachers. That's for Pastor Adam. But it's not true. The Bible, it teaches us that every single one of us, we are called to do something in God's economy. You say, God just wants that so that he can get a lot of work done here on earth. Well, that will happen, and that is the result of us discovering our calling. But even better than that, when you connect with your calling, when you connect with something that's meaningful, something happens on the inside of you. Even secular psychologists, they've confirmed this. The happiest people are the ones doing something with their lives that are truly making a real difference. Let me say it like this. A career will give you something to live on. It will give you something to live on, but a calling will give you something to live for. And there's a big difference. Career and calling, there's a big difference between the two. And often, your career and your calling is not in the same place. It is for Pastor Adam. His career is a full-time pastor of Active Church. And so his calling and his career, it's the same place. But it's not the same for me. And it's not the same for most of you. And there's a difference between career and calling. It's different. And it was different for the Apostle Paul. He had a secular job. And this is what the Apostle Paul said about his life in Acts chapter 20, verse 23. He says, I know that my life is not going to be a picnic. Like, how encouraging is that? Like, my life isn't going to be no picnic. The Holy Spirit told me, like, thanks, Holy Spirit. Thanks for informing me that my life is not going to be a picnic. This is scripture. You gotta read the Bible. I know that my life won't be a picnic. The Holy Spirit let me know repeatedly, clearly, in my life, there are going to be hard times, even imprisonment. But catch what the Apostle Paul says. But all of that matters little. Like the Apostle Paul, if he was at the doctor filling out the stress form, like he would check yes to every box. He's like, I know my life is going to be hard. Like even imprisonment, like they're going to throw me in jail. But despite all that, it all matters little. That's his perspective. That's his outlook. How in the world do you know all of that and yet not be bothered by it? Like, I want to know the solution to that. Like, I want to know how to live with that type of outlook in life. Look at the rest of the scripture. It says, what matters most to me is to finish what God has started. The job the Master Jesus gave me, catch this, of letting everyone I meet know all about this incredibly extravagant generosity of God. So I have bad things going on. Life is tough. Life is stressful. I'm feeling the pressure, but I'm doing the job the Master gave me. So guess what? Nothing else matters. I'm not bothered by it. Why? Because he was connected to real, meaningful purpose in life. And that's the key. So, so important to be connected to purpose. I'm thankful for my career. I'm blessed that I have a job. Especially during this time, I've realized just how blessed I am. And I really do think that my work is making a difference in our economy and in our state. But you know what gives me purpose? You know what gives me meaning in life? It's not my career. It's being part of the serve team here at Active Church. It's being part and actively involved of a life-giving church where over 600 people have come to find Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in just over 2 years. That's what brings purpose to my life. See, even while we're not having services in person here at the Fremont, guess what? We're continuing to prepare. And we're getting ready for the day that we're going to meet again here in this theater. And I believe, church, I believe that our church is going to be bigger. I believe that our church is going to be greater. I believe that our impact is going to be farther than ever before when we come on the other side of this COVID-19. And you can go right now to myactivechurch.org and you can sign up to be part of the serve team and find real meaningful purpose in your life today. Truth be told, if you did, the church would be better. Like, we need you. But that's not our motivation. Because I've learned that I could be pressed on every side, but not in despair. Paul said, everything around me is caving in, but it's not bothering me. Why? Because my eyes are set on things that are eternal. And when you join and get connected to a serve team, you're connecting with what God has created us for. And you and I can make an eternal difference that brings purpose to our everyday life. Number two, realize that my vocation is my ministry location. My vocation is my ministry location. We have an incredible opportunity. Even more so today during this crisis. Church, don't let a crisis go to waste. We have an incredible opportunity. Stay-at-home moms, dads working remotely with your kids, we have an incredible opportunity this very moment. And your vocation, it can become a ministry location if you let it. Your vocation can be more than a means to living. Where you are can be a place of ministry. That that perspective, it could change everything. I told you that the Apostle Paul had a secular job. Look at what he did, Acts chapter 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And there he met a Jew named Aquila. Aquila's sister was Tequila. I'm kidding. Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. And Paul went to see them. Why? Because he was a tent maker. It was his job. And as they were there, he stayed and he worked with them. He's like, hey, you guys are making tents. I make tents. How about we partner together? Let's build some tents together. And the Bible goes on that says that Paul, every day when he would go to work, that he would minister to Aquila and Claudius while they worked together. Now, you and I, we know Paul as a writer of the Gospels. Like, we know Paul as a preacher. We know Paul as an evangelist. We know Paul as a church planter. But guess what? He also had a job. He built tents and he ministered to people that he worked with. Catch this. In other words, Paul, he saw every place he was as an opportunity. Building tents, it wasn't just a job. It was an opportunity to minister. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the impact we could have on our communities if we took on this perspective, if we clothed ourselves with this approach? Here's the challenge, church. Take responsibility for your work environment. Like you and I, let's take responsibility for our work environment. Don't just go to work, but when you do, bring joy, bring light, bring hope, bring life, and watch what happens. That miserable work location can all of a sudden become a ministry location. You're like, Josh, it's too hard. You're over my head. It's too difficult. No, you're making it too difficult. You're making it too complex. Let me show it this way. We've been saying it during the past 6 weeks. Find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. Like don't walk past a need. Don't turn your eye on someone that's hurting. Don't even pray that God would send someone to meet that need. No, he's put you there to meet that need. He's brought that hurt before you for you to minister to that person. Find a need and feel it, and find a hurt and heal it. Jesus said, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify my Father in heaven. I'm just giving you perspective that can take away work-related stress. My last point is this. You and I, we work for God, not people. We work for God, not people. See, I just don't answer to my boss alone. I also answer to my wife. But more than that, I answer to God. And so do you. One day, you and I will stand before God. And this whole message, this whole idea, it all started with me reading this scripture in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Look at what it says. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for humans. Since you know that based on your work, you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. This is it. This is it right here. Can you hear the heart of God this morning? We have to answer to God for today. Like, friend, stop thinking about yesterday. Yesterday is over. Like, Jesus has paid for it. Be free from yesterday. And stop thinking about tomorrow. Tomorrow's coming, but it's not even here yet. I'm not even promised tomorrow. Why lend our emotions to a place where we're not even at? Let's keep our focus on today. And today, let's set our hearts and our minds on things above. And let's give today our very best. Like, let's crush today. We can't worry about tomorrow. What happened yesterday is under the blood. It's in the past. It's forgotten about. All we have is today. So let's crush it. Let's take our eyes off the horrible boss. We're taking our eyes off the grumpy teacher, and we're setting our eyes on things that are eternal. We're setting our hearts on things that matter. Why? Because one day you and I are going to stand before God, and that's the perspective that I'm talking about today. Why? Because Scripture says it's the Lord Christ you are serving. So what do? Today, I'm going to live as if this is the day that will be remembered. I'm going to live today as if it is the only day that will be remembered. In that perspective, it will reduce work stress at home and in relationships. It's all about perspective. Would you pray with me this morning? God, thankful that your promises are still true. And thank you, God, that in the midst of the pressure and the stress and the crazy feelings, Lord, that we can choose faith over all of that. God, I pray that you would help us change our perspective, that every day, Lord, that we would focus on setting our hearts and minds on things above, on things that make an eternal difference.